Hello, welcome again to our newest episode of It's Gonna Be Okay. Today I have a great guest, Brennan Weeks. I've met him through stand-up. He is an LA-based comic, show producer, and also a teacher. Yeah. Hi, Brennan. Thank you for being here. I'm so glad that you made it. We obviously know that this is about mental health, and when you came out of your car, you seemed kind of like a little distraught.
No, I'm just, I'm always worried about being on camera and just. I'm just not used to like studio stuff yet. Like I'm just,
Oh, is it? Do all the lights make you nervous?
Like, yeah, no. I remember when doing podcasts would just be like in someone's living room.
It was less stress, right? Less confrontation, less pressure to perform.
Right. It was just kind of like hanging out. Yeah. And just put up some microphones. So yeah. We could just treat it that way.
It is technically like that. So you are originally from New York.
Yeah.
Albany, New York. What made you come out to LA besides doing stand up?
Teaching.
Like, yeah. Legit, like you were just like, they have more opportunities. Because I know you teach in like, do you teach for charter schools or more low income areas?
I've taught in all different kind of schools.
Okay.
I originally came out here because like an ex-girlfriend talked me into it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. One of those things, being like, try to make her dreams come true, which they did. And then mine.
Yours got put in the back.
I'm still aspiring.
Okay. You're still aspiring and spiraling, right?
Spiraling for sure.
Mm-hmm. So I know I remember being booked on one of your shows, mm-hmm. and I was like coming, like I was spiraling myself from like a suicidal episode, mm-hmm. which was very intense. And you were the only one to kind of like comfort me about that. And, cause I feel like you picked up on it. You picked up on, the nuanced kind of like body language. And for me, when I read that, I was like, okay, this person might have experienced something like that along those lines, or kind of reads that.
I mean, day to day, not to minimize, I've dealt with a lot of high risk demographics, I would say, mm-hmm. like just, my past relationships, I've been with people who are bipolar and ADHD and mood swings, depression, all those things. And you got to pick on those signals if you want those relationships to be sustainable. You know what I mean? Like, you have to kind of evolve. So,
right. And then I'm probably guessing as a teacher too, you probably pick up on that kind of stuff with kids.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I worked at this little hippie school in Culver City for about 7 years. And that whole philosophy was just empathy. And just treating like people as a whole human, as opposed to just like a student or just like, this compartmentalized version of what expectations are.
Right.
So like you just look at somebody and go like, yeah, what's going on with you? And you just kind of reach out.
Oh, okay. So you mean like hippie as in like they got murals painted on the wall kind of deal?
Oh, no. Their kids are named Granola.
Oh, shit. Like, just like. They're named Granola. They're named like, I don't know. What is it?
What's something? Yeah. It's just. It's
like a different keto bread. Yeah. Oral wheat.
Yeah. Sprout is a kid's name. Yeah. 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 But yeah, like the school itself is a beautiful place. Like, it's a little culty. Mm-hmm. I won't put it, but like the philosophy is just very genuine. And actually, a lot of people take workshops there and then bring it out. That's why like a lot of like new corporations are all like picking up on like those buzzwords, like holding space and like what's another one? Like
holding space.
We're going to hold space,
I'll hold space for your emotions.
Right.
Yeah.
It's all that new therapy talk. Right. Like,
that vernacular that I believe what's his name, that actor that was using it against his girlfriend.
Jonah Hill. Jonah Hill. Yeah.
And they use it wrong. They obviously misappropriate it wrong because they're not going to hold space for you if they're going to take you. They're going to take you out of employment. They're like, no, we're holding space for somebody else now.
Yeah, no, it does. Yeah, well, when corporations do it, you can't have the same kind of philosophy in a capitalist system. with the school, it's very egalitarian, right? Like, everybody gets to make their own choices. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the kids can choose whether or not to go to class.
Right.
Which is like, well, then what's the point of having class? Well, you don't know unless you're interested in it, right? So you have to, like, cater lessons to, like, what these kids' interests are. And, I don't know, and then exposure of different ideas. Like, I used to take apart, like, old electronics I'd find by the dumpster, right? And I would just give the kids a bunch of screwdrivers and pliers and then just go for it, you know?
Really?
Yeah, and then...
So you were encouraging them to do something else with their brain.
Yeah, just other... there's other shit to do. It's just not just rote memorization, like, you know...
Right.
A lot of stuff is, like, storytelling. I would do storytelling classes. Like, I'd have an open mic for kids. Like, I couldn't put comedy down, you know? Like, you'd be able to hear about, like, families, like, cheating on each other. Like, daddy's new friend, you know? Like, it just, the kids are very funny in the stuff they're willing to share, right? Like, one kid did, like, a heavy metal song about how he wanted to kill me.
Oh, that's legit.
Yeah, it's like this little stewy sociopath kid.
Was it good, though? I mean, was it?
It was insane, yeah. Really? But, like, yeah.
Oh, no, not insanely good, but it was just, like, I didn't want to hear it.
No, he's like, dropped me into a pit of lava. Like, it was just very funny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever had kids, like, draw pictures of you falling off of a cliff?
Yes.
Like, this is Brennan. Yep. I don't like him.
Uh-huh. Right.
Oh my god, that's too funny. Mm-hmm. What was it like? Okay, so you mentioned that you've had girlfriends who are obviously, you know, not I wouldn't say well, but I mean, like, there's a stability problem there, right?
Right. There's just the pre-therapy era.
Yeah. Pre-therapy era. Mm-hmm. Before everyone started jumping on board the holistic, and I'm gonna.
Well, every woman needed to heal, and you could see that in Instagram posts.
You know? I still think it needs to happen. It's not just like us healing, but I don't really know what the problem is.
The problem is men. Are just ignoring the problem.
They're okay, so it's accountability.
No, totally. I was thinking about, like, how to address, like, larger issues, like, while on this, and not just necessarily, like, my personal trauma.
Oh, right? Okay.
Because, like, bringing in bits is that, like, I was thinking about, like, every women love lies.
We do.
You do.
I don't know about that. Okay. I maybe it's not all women, but I know. But,
okay,
I don't.
So here we go.
Okay,
you know how you have that friend, and you're like, oh my god, girl, you look so nice, and like objectively, it may not be nice, right?
Oh no, but I can tell when someone's lying to me,
right?
Because it doesn't feel right. If it interacts with the way my perception of myself, I'm like, nah, shut the fuck up. I get upset by it, you know.
I had to do therapy because one of my ex was like, you have to do therapy or we're breaking up.
Oh, okay. So it was a court order or terms and conditions for the relationship?
To do that. And so when I was taking therapy and I was talking to my therapist is like, why don't you just break up with her? And I was
really?
Like, yeah, I was like, oh, okay. Because she's just a control freak.
Right.
And it was like she projected it to being my problem.
Oh, that makes sense.
And then I was just like, oh, and then I would bring it back to her, like, stuff that I was working on, and then would be like, oh, but then you're doing the thing that my therapist told me isn't an okay thing. Like, we should talk about regulating emotions and self-soothing and, you know, like, what are things that we can do to, like, mitigate conflict, you know? And it would just be like, nope. She would just want to keep fighting with me.
Oh.
And
yeah, that is a problem. That does sound like...
And it was interesting... Because it's like, you know, it's not her fault, right? Like, I'm not a perfect person either. And, like, I can be very mean. And it's just like, when you want to have a solution to a problem, right? And you want to negotiate and work with another person, it seems like some people aren't receptive to that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I thought it was funny where you said women like to be lied to, but but in my head I was like, no, I think it's because they can't handle the truth.
Mm-hmm.
There are women out there that cannot handle the truth, but it doesn't mean that they want to be lied to. It just means that okay. And I've had this problem talking to other women too. I have problems talking to other women. It's not just women. It's women talking to other women.
If men are trash.
I don't think that either.
Okay. Yeah. But I'm just saying, if this is a blanket statement, if men are trash, can women be annoying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Men, women can definitely be annoying because I get
not all women.
No, not all women, but I get annoyed too. Right. You know, because I'm very direct in my delivery of certain things, and for some people, a lot of people will tell me, I've had this happen. A lot of people will tell me they catch that off guard because it's coming from a woman. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm like, okay, but I have to operate like that because in my head, that's the only way I could like live with my illness. You know what I mean? I have to be direct. I have, cause I've come from a point where I was unable to, dictate what it was that I needed. Mm-hmm. And then that would put me in a place where I wasn't getting what I needed out of living. And then it would make me spiral into like suicide and things like that. So I'm very vocal about, you know, okay, this is what I need. I need the space, this and that. Mm. But I've learned that a lot of women in particular have that kind of, it's always like they're, and I think this is the problem. You know, you get that trope where like women are always like, it's about communication, but they never communicate to you what it is that they need.
Oh, you have to play the guessing game.
Exactly. And I get upset by that because they fall into that trap. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
There's a certain expectation that men just should know.
Right.
And we don't. And sometimes don't care.
Like, right.
You know, even if we do know it's something's like the right thing to do, like sometimes we just won't do it because there's like a vindictive resentment to that expectation. Does that make sense?
Yes. Like, yes,
oh, you does. Expect me to do this? Well, throw you a curveball, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I understand that. I get that.
Okay. Another one of my diagnosis is, I've been severely ADHD forever. Right. And, impulsive. And like, I can make the best out of a bad decision.
That's improv right there. Right.
The best out of a bad decision. And, the origin story, like me moving to LA was to get my master's in teaching. And I fought with my ex so much that I had to find a hobby.
Oh my God. And then is that
how you got into stand up? Because I actually used to live around the corner from here on Alta Vista. My first apartment was on Alta Vista. And I would go to Sunset Grill and I would just be doing mics. I come from like a show business family.
Oh, okay.
And my dad was on Broadway and my mom was a ballerina and I can't dance. Right. And so I've always had this performative outlet, like, you know, and so I would go on stage and talent shows and shit like that. But because I'm from upstate New York, you're just performing to the townies. The uncultured swine.
Well, that and they have, because of TV, they have a very kind of jaded look on what, you know, actual like art is.
Right. And I don't know if you've ever been to a rural upstate New York talent show.
No.
But it's sad. It's a very sad.
Is it like people hula hooping, like that kind of thing?
Yeah, or? It's just like, it's like, you know, like county fairs.
Oh,
like,
God.
Yeah, it's just backwater people. And I try to do like songs and singing. My seventh grade teacher told me to do a Bob Newhart bit.
I don't even know who that is.
I know. It's probably, how old are you?
I'm 37.
I'm same age. We're the same age.
Okay, all right. I don't know who
different
that is,
exposure
though.
Then. It's a white comic from like the 50s or some shit.
Okay. Right. Yeah, that makes sense. I wouldn't be listening to that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did like a I had to write all the dialogue down from this like old CD and I did the whole bit. And like that was like, I was doing stand-up since like seventh grade.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, and
then,
cool.
And then, yeah, but then, like, just moving to L.A., it just kind of stumbled upon it again. And then, I've been doing stand-up ever since.
Oh, that makes sense. Because I think you do incredibly well with noises, you know? I think there's another comic that I know personally that does very well with noises, you know? But, I mean, he's way older and, you know, he's been doing it for a while, but
Darren Carter.
Yes, Darren Carter.
No, I could eat him alive in a battle, though. I'll put that out there. I'm so sorry.
You what?
I could eat him alive in a battle.
Probably, yeah. Because I mean, yes, yeah. I mean, it's for you, I feel like it's coming from something very personal, you know. Oh, like for him, I think it's more just because, you know, I don't know, some other things.
He's gonna do that pizza bit for 45 minutes. That's what he's gonna do.
A pizza bit? No. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Brennan, you mentioned being in rural America and rural upstate New York, and mm-hmm. your parents being performers, did that have any consequence to the reason why you were diagnosed with what you got? Or
I think my dad did a lot of cocaine in the 70s and 80s, mm-hmm. and somehow that was kind of like passed down as attention deficit disorder. Like, I just really feel like
they didn't put it in your Similac, and then you
no. But just, you know, show business back. Yeah, I think all that energy, mm-hmm. like just in not having a place to put it. Like, even my mom was telling me the other day, she's like, yeah, we couldn't really give you any like music lessons because all the piano teachers died. Wow. It was just like that, you know, it was the 90s. So it was like the end of an era of like in-home like arts training, right? Like all those programs were being cut and there was no money in it, right? So like I had to like figure out my own way, and mm-hmm. my family's always watched comedy, so it's always been like,
when you mean like all the piano teachers died, is it because they were older and that was like that was like an antiquated form of art?
Yeah
Okay, so I've noticed this as well. It's strange that we even still kind of keep this art form alive, because mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of it is being kind of bastardized by, you know, the TikToking thing and all this and that. And I don't know if you've ever seen like someone who's big on Instagram or big on TikTok and then they actually do a set.
I've watched T.I. Yeah.
Okay. Were you there that time?
No, I've watched him several times. Okay. Yeah. When he interrupts, crack him up, and then it's another.
Yeah. So it was. Yeah, it's bad. I think that in and of itself is enough to make anybody go to therapy, you know? That is just, it's just too much.
Well, people forgot what the, like, original intention of stand-up is that's to make people laugh.
Right.
It's not about to talk about your personal fucked up issues on stage when you could see a therapist to clear those first. Like, to make them a bit later, you know, like, how do you make it funny as opposed to just saying
what it is? Right. Yeah. I feel like, and I hope I don't do this when I'm, cause I've gone through this. It's more like to at least get some resolve.
Right. You're looking for the resolution.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not to like, oh, I'm figuring it out as we're on here on stage. Mm-hmm. It's not, that's absolutely not the case. But I have seen people who have use that as therapy, you know, like, oh, I'm going through a breakup, and you know, like, you should give yourself some time, you know. Mm. Give yourself some time to relax. Or see,
that was the thing I did for quite a bit after my divorce two or three years ago.
You were married?
Yeah, for about 14 months.
That's like a Kim Kardashian wedding.
Oh yeah, no, lesbians were surprised how fast that went.
Really? Yeah. What was the reason for the separation?
Oh, all types of stuff. I've talked about this on like another podcast, so I don't necessarily.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I went to another podcast and talked all because I couldn't shut the fuck up about my divorce. Right, like it was just such a tumultuous relationship that I needed to talk about it all the time.
So it wasn't with the one who told you to get therapy.
It was with her.
Oh yeah. My God. Okay.
Yeah. So like, I mean, even I kept miking. I did a mic that night after we separated.
Uh huh.
You know, and I was like, oh, okay.
It was very fresh. Very.
Yeah. And then I just kept doing shows. Okay. You know,
to keep yourself from thinking about it.
Sane. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Comedy is an outlet for, you know, your own person. Like, it doesn't matter. You can just go to a mic and go talk about shit. Like, I do Hollywood comedies when there's like three people there, mm-hmm. you know, and just try to sort it out in bits. Like, how do I create a vignette of this moment? Like, I joined a men's help group.
Right? Really? That's cool.
Yeah, I did. And it was really sad. It's on Skype and everybody just talks about jerking off too much. And it's like, most of it's porn addiction, which is, the men's support group is like, yo, bro, just put your dick down, bro. Like
that's the way you got to put your utensil down. Like
put your dick down and get your shit together. And like that's most of male therapy. And then like, I don't know, parting with divorced dudes. I have a friend. He's in his 50s. He just got divorced too, and we'd fucking rage.
Wow. You know?
Like we'd just go out. And then I'd be like crying in his car. I still miss her. And then we'd do cocaine and it'd be fine.
Oh my gosh.
Like being divorced is hilarious because I still haven't gotten my shit together, you know?
And it's only, it's been 14 months. I mean, people grieve differently.
No, the marriage was 14 months and I've been kind of like slopping around for the past 3 years.
Okay. So wait, hold on. So when did you get divorced? This was like 3 years ago or?
Yeah.
And you've just been like, nah.
Nah.
All right. Nah. Okay, yeah. All right. I see where you're. Was it because you still had your dick in your hand kind of deal?
Could be.
Yeah, you're just still clutching it around. I don't know.
I'd say like being, you know, post-divorce is great because you don't have to feel like you're in debt to somebody.
Yes. Or you mean there's an obligation.
Right. And now that I've done that, like been married, I'm like, oh, I know what that's like. Uh-huh. You know, I know it could be falling in love and everything. I'm just being very safe with my emotions right now.
Right.
Like I don't have to put too much effort into dating.
That makes a lot of sense.
Because I'm not trying to latch on to somebody, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because I'm appreciating my own independence, you know?
Yeah, that usually happens to people who've gone through traumatic situations. Mm-hmm. They're like, I know what that shit's like. I could see right through it. So it was that bad then.
Yeah. I would have like cortisol flashbacks. Of just like, just being tense, like just receiving one of those like, we need to talk messages. Uh-huh. Son of a bitch, you know?
Yeah, and then never like.
And never be going well.
Was she a therapist or what?
No.
Okay. For some reason, I don't know why it registered in my head that she was.
No, she told me to go to therapy.
Oh, then okay.
My therapist
okay.
told me you should break up with her.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, okay. And then you took that advice and.
I've sorted this out again. But like being in that kind of intense relationship only kind of clarified to me that love isn't enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't just love somebody and then that be the thing, you know?
Agreed. Yeah. I think we kind of, I mean, for people who we're the same age group. You mm-hmm. grew up with Tina Turner, right?
yeah, Bobby Brown and all that.
Yeah, other okay. Yeah. So every time I think of like when someone says it's love is not enough,
it's passionate. You know, yeah, I mean, it's not. Like, no, it's violent. We got to stop this shit. Yeah.
It's like, what's love got to do with it? Like, that's what comes into my head is that sort of thing. So, yeah, a lot of people will probably say things like, oh, you have commitment issues. And it's like, no. It's not commitment issues.
No, because I've had several relationships now recently, you know, where it's been like, oh, we can date, mm-hmm. right? But then as soon as somebody says I want to build something with you, that's when I run.
Okay.
I want to build, because nothing good happens from building. You know, like, think about the Bible, right?
Yes.
If it's a tower, an ark, or a crucifix, like something fucked up is going to happen.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. That
right?
Is
no,
a-
I don't. As soon as somebody says build something, I'm like, oh, you want to? Because for me right now, it's my priorities are working to mm-hmm. survive, and my creative outlet, which is stand up.
Yeah, right?
Like just who I am as a person, you know. And then my relationship could be third. You know? Because even then, my taking care of myself, there'll be no time for somebody else.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely, know? That's true.
You know, that's so it. Like right now, like just who I am, I don't need that overwhelming or like that need to be committed to anything. You know?
Yeah. You're not, I don't know. Someone told me it's like you're not acting out of desperation
exactly
any longer. You know, like you're like, I'm not lonely. You know, I don't feel alone because I'd rather have my peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that, you know, peace of mind is way more important than, you know, having someone stand there next to you. Like, that's not always the best thing, you know.
You don't have to pick up phone calls.
Yeah.
You can just go to sleep and ignore people.
Yeah, exactly. That's nice. You know, that is something that I'm learning how to do, because I used to be really anxious.
I don't need good night text messages. I'm going to go the fuck to sleep.
That is something that I'm trying to learn how to do, is not respond to people text messaging me so quickly, because I have like a million things to do all at once. You know, I got to work. I do this. I do stand up. I have to prioritize my exercising routine. Like, that's something that I'm really big on, is taking care of my physical health, because that's tied to my mental health. Like, it's entrenched now. And some people don't understand that. They're like, oh, you're selfish. You know, they'll relabel it as something else because they want something from me, you know? And I'm like, that's not what that is. It just means that you have to make an appointment to want to see me, you right. know?
I got
to
put you in my schedule. I'll exactly. pencil you in, but plans could change.
Exactly. And I always think, like, for people that kind of have like an open schedule, that just means that, you know, maybe they're not
doing enough.
Yeah, they're not doing enough, or, you know, they don't understand, or maybe we shouldn't be friends, you know, like, maybe they should get a job and leave me the fuck alone. You know, but I gravitate now. I'm learning how to just let it go, because I would get upset, you know, if someone told me something like that that wasn't necessarily anything on me, but I would just, you know, let it go. And now I gravitate more towards people who do have things that they're striving for, who have ambitions and goals.
Yeah, because then, you know, like, oh, you got shit to do.
Yeah.
I have shit to do. And right. You leave me alone. Yeah.
Right. And then they understand. They're like, oh, okay, I understand your boundaries. Uh-huh. You know, they get it, you know. And that's kind of hard to find, you know, because most people just want to kind of commandeer your schedule in a way.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. And as soon as somebody's like, I had to ignore 26 missed calls. Because somebody was demanding my time.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, no, that's not how this works.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
An immediate red flag right there. You just got to cut that off, because you don't want to deal with that again.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Because then they start, if they know you too well, then it turns into a fight, a heated fight. Because
then they can get under your skin. Exactly. And then, no. I think I dated a girl for about 4 weeks, and then she tried doing that, like trying to throw something that I said to her as like a jab.
Okay.
And I was like, oh no, you haven't done the work yet.
Yeah. That.
As soon as you start doing that and like digging up stuff just because you're triggered by something, then I'm like, oh, okay. So,
well, it's because she wanted something from you. That was her motivation.
To be able to get an emotional response. And as soon as I was like, oh no, I think this we had a good time. But thank you so much.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And that, see, for me, that was hard to do, like to cut people out, because then I would internalize it as like, oh, am I being the asshole? Mm-hmm. But then it's like, no, I'm not being an asshole for choosing my mental health or like my peace.
You see a red flag, you go, thank you so much.
Yeah. And then you walk away.
I know how this turns out. I've seen this Netflix movie before.
Yeah.
Skip intro.
Yeah. So, I mean, was that something that you learned from just through life, or you learned from your parents?
No, I learned that through divorce.
Oh, okay.
My parents were together for 35 years. They had a beautiful relationship. They never fought in front of us. They delegated house. Like, my family, to me, was very functional.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, and I understood, because I got my ass beat, of course. Being an annoying kid, being ADHD. He's like, why the fuck did you do that? And I'm like, I don't know. And then just getting hit, you know. I realized later, you know, my parents' frustration at just not being able to understand.
Right.
That, I mean, if, you know, we're running and jumping on the couches, and they're like, can you stop jumping on the couches? And then you're like, no. And you keep doing it, eventually they're going to hit you.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, they're not understanding, like, where all the pent-up energy is coming from, or why your brain works the way it does.
Right,
you know?
Then you find out they're both behind on bills, and, like...
They're both stressed out.
She's been cooking all day, he's been working all day, and he's just like, why don't you guys shut the fuck up, you know? And you're like, oh, okay. So I get all that from the past, but, like... Being divorced and knowing how much I hung on to like toxic patterns with somebody, and then seeing that being replayed in newer relationships, like, allows me to see it coming. You okay. know what I mean? Like, oh, I've seen this before.
Okay, so I do have a question for you. You said you're able to see the toxic patterns and things like that. Is that something, because I've been in a situation where I'm like, okay, I see this toxic pattern. Do you think that, because for me, I'm always like, well, what is it that I could change about myself to keep me from getting involved with people that I see like that?
Oh, from the get-go, or if you're already involved with somebody?
Well, from the get-go, like, you just see it quick, you know what I mean? Because I don't know if it's like, because I used to blame myself, do I attract these people?
I mean, it's like three dates, like three solid dates, you can, or however that pans out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, or I've felt 3 months.
Yeah, three months, that's a really good, months, yeah, that's a good time. 3 months
is a good, like, metric of like how, because you've done everything past like, what are we doing today, you know, or like you're definitely interested in this person, you definitely really like them, you've uncovered some things, right? But after 3 months it's like, when are you going to meet my parents, right? Is this going to be a lasting and long relationship, building that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
And then the emotional,
or if they don't want to build and then you know, they take off or something like that.
Because also, you know, a lot of relationships are about circumstances, right?
Right.
Like, you keep the same job. I switch from job to job sometimes. And then, you know, how does that affect the schedule?
Right.
Like, if I pick up, I do security at a theater at night sometimes, and I have several shifts during the month, you know, so that cuts out date nights. And then I do stand-up and I have shows, and then
I got a mic
to stay limber, and so I have like a very busy schedule. So I don't really have time to fit people in on like set date nights. Like, you know, I've dated a girl for about 6 months and it was just, we just saw each other like once a week.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of what it feels like when you're involved in these kind of situations.
You were talking about health at one point.
What do you mean? Oh, physical health.
Physical health. Yeah. I am very unhealthy.
Really?
Yeah, physically.
Is that something that you think would help? Because I feel like for me, I just started doing it now because I can afford a personal trainer.
See, that's what I need.
Yeah. No. Well, maybe I could recommend you my trainer. I think you know him.
Who's your trainer?
Easton.
Easton Gage?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I love Easton. I love Easton. I wonder if he could give me a layaway deal.
He will. Ask him. Ask him. Say I recommended
he's
you.
He's all on the west side. I live in fucking
No. I don't work out with him. Like, not in person. He sends me programs. And then I work out alone. I have to show this to you afterwards. But
Okay.
But no, he's great. Very, very supportive. I have so much respect for that guy, because initially I was kind of afraid, you know, I was kind of scared, because I was like, oh, hey, I have schizophrenia. Is that something that you can handle? You know, because I noticed myself asking questions that are like, what the fuck? Where's this coming from? You know, like, I'll ask like really weird questions. And he said about the only, no, I'm not troubled. Like, the only weird question I've ever asked was, what's your favorite sea creature? And that's only because when I like people, I like to get them gifts.
Okay.
Like, and
are you asking me that right now? What's my favorite sea creature?
Oh, yeah. What's your favorite sea creature?
I mean, fuck. I like seahorses.
Oh, seahorses?
That's cool. And then what was I watching recently? The little mini octopuses. Yeah.
I have one of those on my dashboard. I have like a,
like,
see, because I
like
I
a
like,
living one. No,
I like no. I yeah. like to. I like to collect these guys. You know,
squishies.
Like, yeah. But they have like keychains, and so I like to get people those things. Mm. You know, because
yeah.
Because it's like emotional support for me, and
little
you know,
squeeze, yeah,
yeah.
What else? Like, I saw the new one on Instagram, that little, like, sea caterpillar.
A sea caterpillar. What's a sea caterpillar?
It's like a little, I forget what it's called, like a green fairy or something like that. It's like this little fairy caterpillar.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What about frogs? Do you like frogs?
I like frogs.
Oh, okay, like toads.
Toads and stuff, yeah. You know, I'm from upstate New York.
Yeah, you're like, there's tons of toads everywhere.
Tons of toads everywhere. Yeah, you always have to move them out of the road so they don't
really?
Run over.
Yeah. Do they like, get smushed? Are those Budweiser toads?
Yeah, of course. But, like, not like the Budweiser, like the green ones, the smooth ones. Most of them are, like, brown and, like, wrinkly.
Oh, okay, no. Cool. Yeah, I could tell that you're a teacher because you know how to describe things to, like, you're like, yeah, they're brown, wrinkly, tiny.
Tiny toads. You, they're kind, dry. You, they're yes, dry,
you
yeah.
definitely have, like, preschool teacher vibes.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
I don't know how to describe it. It's just, like, I feel like if I was in your class, you'd be one of my favorite teachers, and I'd be like, let's color, Brennan!
Yeah, no, we're going to make it a fucking adventure.
Let's glue pennies to the wall!
All right. Well, okay, two bits. The first one, about being unhealthy.
Yeah.
Right? I'm afraid, like, when I die, like, because I'm an organ donor.
Oh, no.
They wouldn't be able to use anything. Like, that's how unhealthy I think I am.
Oh, is it because, like, all your insides are burned up?
Yeah. We were talking about suicide.
Yeah.
And I smoke cigarettes. So it's like I'm slowly killing myself.
Oh, yeah.
Every day.
Are you sedentary? Like,
yes,
a lot?
Yes.
You know, okay, so you're killing yourself twice.
Yes.
Yeah, because, like, being sedentary and smoking cigarettes.
So suicidal thoughts happen every time I'm smoking a cigarette because, like, this is going to kill me, but not today.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You know? So you're like a slow burner then.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a slow cookie suicide.
My depression is, I'm taking my time, all right?
Yeah. One cigarette at a time. Yeah.
But, like, I teach special ed now. Right. I teach special ed. And the other day we had alternative PE, which is like we put all the special needs kids in one room to do exercises.
Do they all have to wear helmets?
No. Okay. So everybody has their varying disabilities. And she had us do like this high intensity interval training. And I think we've both seen the Thriller music video, right?
Stop.
They all look like they were dancing to different parts of the song, like, at the same time. And the saddest part was, like, during these exercises, I felt like my back give out. Like, a little bit. Like, I was like, oh! I was like... So I can't do the same exercises as a room full of handicapped children. So,
oh my fucking God. Yeah. You were like, they're still doing better than I am.
They're still healthier than me.
Oh my God, that is so funny. Yeah. So the high intensity interval, because that's what I do.
Yeah.
High intensity interval training. Mm-hmm. What? Oh my gosh. They got hit a lot harder than you did. You got hit a lot harder than they did.
Yeah.
That's too funny. I don't mean to laugh at someone with special needs because
I did that joke at a show.
Yeah.
And then I found out a board member from the school district I work on was in the front row.
Oh my gosh.
And then they didn't find out until the end of the show that I was in the same district, which... I don't know.
They didn't write you up, did they?
No.
Oh, okay.
But it was very funny.
What did they do in that situation? Did they come up to you and congratulate you? Like,
no, they're like, hey, what school district do you work for? And I was like, what? And I was like, I said it, and they were like, oh, I'm a board member on there.
Oh,
I was
my like, God.
No. I don't know what that means.
It means that Brennan is up for review.
So... It was that. Besides, that was like the other day, which is very. I still have my job.
Really? Yeah, okay. You for now. Yeah. Reviews take 6 months. I'm joking. Relax. I'm joking. Yeah. I don't want to say anything. Yeah. No, that's very funny. That's very. And I feel like I'm gonna go to hell for laughing at that.
But it's just like I'm telling you objectively what I saw.
Yeah. Yeah. So okay. But was this because of Halloween? Like a.
So during that'd be a great preface. So like Halloween, the day before, you know, at school, she puts on the Thriller music video, and they're all doing different parts. Okay, that could be fun.
But why did they call it alternative
PE?
Yeah,
because you can't put them in regular gym class.
They're already taking special needs classes, PE for them.
No, but yeah, but okay, so. Two things.
Yeah.
The first thing is that the kid I take care of, the one I'm in charge of, he has an allergy to the sun. And so because of his medication, so he can't be outside for too long.
Oh, I know that kind. I know that kind of allergy, yeah.
So we'll just be sitting in the shade on the stairs, and he's low functioning, Yeah. So like that's why for
so it's like it's
they
like,
need their own particular exercises.
Yeah. So, so it's like taking care of a potato and he's nightshade.
I'm not saying anything. All right.
I'm sorry. I'm
he
sorry.
Is, he, the child is an angel. All right.
Okay, I can. He's a saint. Okay.
He's a saint. Saint Bernard.
But I didn't say anything. I mean, I'm sure a lot of these children. The what am I saying? I'm same thing. You know, like
right. But I mean, taking special ed is very different than mainstream because you just have to accept people as they are.
Yeah.
Right? Like again, you're taking care of another life form. And how is this consciousness different than your own? I've started mimicking the behavior of some of my students because that's how they communicate. So mm-hmm. I do it back to them.
What are you doing now? Has it helped?
Yeah, I guess okay. It creates rapport.
So people, okay, is it helping in a way where I mean, you communicate with someone and then someone thinks you're special needs so they take time to get to know you?
No, or? No, no. It hasn't, I mean, I have the mannerisms sometimes pick up in regular conversation. Like, you know, when you do like thank, like sign language, like yeah. thank you and things like that, like I'll just kind of do them in passing.
Okay.
And it hasn't caught on with some people. Like if I do like a certain, like what are you doing? You
know? Yeah.
You can't do it like in certain parts of underneath the freeway because it could be gang members.
But,
like,
oh, yeah, 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 okay, yeah, I get yeah, what you're yeah. saying. Yeah, yeah, you got to be careful with the hand gestures you put around fools.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because yeah. they start thinking like, yeah, you know, and I was like,
whatever that is.
Yeah.
I can't believe gangs are still a thing in 2023.
Oh, yeah, you'd think they'd be more organized, huh, and they'd have... that have businesses
right yeah
no Homeboys Industries does I mean that's about it but it's after the fact
I wish I could speak on it a little bit more I wish I understood thug culture in modern day times because mm-hmm. all I have reference points for is just like media from the 90s
like NWA is that?
Right yeah, yeah but that's not
like
how
all
it's
the
structured.
Music yeah
right and I've never been to jail so like I don't have any oh. I have no interest in getting to know how
yeah,
that
yeah, I don't think you want to know these people.
No, I wouldn't know how to deal with it. I mean, I've been in environments where, like, I go to after hours and stuff like
yeah.
that, where, like, I see that kind of stuff. But being involved on the ground floor is, I wouldn't have the time.
Yeah.
I'm too busy.
Well, you wouldn't have the time. You're like, I don't have
shows, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, I think I need to schedule this drive-by another time. Yeah. I'm not yeah, but it is still a thing. There are still people that still think they live in the hood. My mom is one of them.
Yeah, like
you know, so it's just that mentality never leaves and I think mostly it's because it's traumatic. Mm, you know,
it's trauma bonding.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's like it's cyclical mm-hmm. Inherited trauma as they say, you know. Mm-hmm. It's things that are completely perpetuated by the people themselves because they're like, "Oh, well, we don't know any better, so we're just going to keep doing what we know is familiar." Mm. You know, and then they get caught in these, you know, cycles of, "Yeah, well, why doesn't it end?" you know, and well, cuz it takes a consciousness, it takes awareness to realize that as we were talking about earlier, the toxic kind of patterns. And so for me, sometimes I'm thinking like, is this a toxic pattern that I still want to have because I'm allowing this person? Like, am I accepting it to still be in my life?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then I get down on myself and then, you know, then I get suicidal and then.
Well, you can't.
You know, it just feels like a hopelessness almost because I'm like, how do I change?
You can't change your ways, yeah.
How do I change this?
I was talking to another comic about this last night, and it's micro changes.
Yeah.
It's just changing little things at a time, then making sure that you just stay consistent with that.
Yeah.
Like, one thing I need is more water, and I have to drink more water, I think. Another thing I need to do is... probably not keep chasing the dragon. You know what I mean? Like, just I go out a lot sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know when you're at a party and you're like, I should probably leave.
Yeah.
I have like a late reflex to that.
Oh, okay. You
know, I probably should have left a couple hours ago.
Oh, I think I do the same thing, but it's what the kids call it. What is it? FOMO.
Yeah.
Fear of missing out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Every mic, every show, every after party.
Yeah. Because we're like, what is it that we could be missing out on? You know, is it? And you know, I don't know if that I don't know really what makes me want to keep staying.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I mean, I've got okay. So this past year or so, I went to a lot of after hours.
Yeah, and I've seen your stories.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and like I can go out and hang. And I just find, you know, raves and nightclubs and mansion parties and like all the places that I've gone to. You just kind of sit in it and you get to know people and just hang out. You never know where it's going to lead to. And I spend a lot of time just hanging out and really ADHD satisfying places.
Okay.
Right.
Is it because there's low pressure to be vulnerable to like open up? Yeah. Okay.
And everybody's fake. Everybody's lying to themselves. Yeah, and I just kind of go like, all right, cool. So you just
Like, this is what it is. This is, you know, and then you don't realize the real life until the lights turn on.
Sometimes, or when you leave and then you have like your eardrums are like left over there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that blare.
Is it almost like a numbing?
Yes.
Sensation for you?
Coping mechanisms. Yeah. That was the other thing. Yeah. Partying hard, coping mechanisms, cigarettes, alcohol I don't really need. Weed is definitely a way to get through the day. And other stuff sometimes. Like, it's I try to not do, to go beyond a certain point of, like, losing. I've never lost control. I feel like the past 3 years. I've always been able to keep my shit together enough to drive home.
Yeah.
You know.
But, I mean, is that something that you think is, you know, sustainable?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Absolutely okay. Not. All right. At least you're honest about it. You're like, no, it's no. just.
And I've actually calmed down. I've actually turned around and started making beats.
Okay. Yeah. No, I've seen that, too. That's kind of, that's really cool. Yeah, I like
that. I've just been staying in and, like, not going out and spending all my money on stupid shit. And I just making beats at home and just using my stories as a way to, like, just make it as a reference point.
You know?
So at least I'm working on something. I'm not out and about and like doing social stuff, but I'm like, you know, just having a hobby.
Putting like a lot of that energy that you would be dispensing into just kind of the oblivion of a party.
Because I realize after, you know, 2 years of straight partying, no one's going to miss you.
No, that's true.
No one's going to miss you when you're gone. I mean, you will, but like in passing, everybody still has their own life to live.
Yeah.
And just because you're not standing in front of somebody doesn't mean that you're not still valuable to that person.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's a big thing too to learn, you know.
You have impact on people in little ways that you didn't know about. You don't have to constantly be out. Like people still will check on you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I hope so, because, you know, I hate for my Apple Watch to be the only one to tell people I've died.
Right. You know, it's so sad when we get RIP Angela.
Yes.
I miss her a lot. Yeah.
That was speaking of that,
I've been to 3 funerals the past 2 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. As
all 3 of them comics.
No. Yeah. That's the weirdest thing is that like I started stand up with Angela. Yeah. You know. I started stand up with Angela, and then, you know, I didn't know she was sick.
Me neither.
And
I knew about the spleen, or the infection.
I just thought, you know, she was just losing weight because we used to host at Chatterbox.
Right.
And then it ended, like, I knew she was losing weight back then, and then she kind of just didn't want to do it anymore, you know. And then we got dropped from doing the hosting. I don't know, for whatever reason, but it was probably a good reason. And then we just kind of like lost touch with each other, you know, after that.
She did my show about a month before I stopped hearing from her.
When was that? When was that?
Outside? She did Outside Jokes in September. We have the same birthday.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it just, you know, she just kind of went quiet. Mm-hmm. And then I was too busy doing things and, you know.
Yeah.
But it came to me by surprise, like very much, because I think when it all happened, like we were all going through something, you know, because that was when the whole Palestinian thing and everyone was, we were all seeing all that happen, you know, and then people told me, oh yeah, guess who passed away? I was like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Like, didn't make any sense. Yeah. So
I thought she was going to get out. I texted her when I found out she was in the hospital.
I didn't even know she was in the hospital. I had no.
Yeah, well, she went in about like September 30th because I was going to go visit her up in. But she was in.
She lives in West Covina or like close to Azusa. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was up there. Yeah, we're like Instagram besties.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I just, I don't know. I just don't know how to process grief. Like, that's one of the
same
feelings.
Same here. Oh, you know? We would have a whole other thing about.
Like, yeah, just, processing grief. Yeah, that's one thing that I think that I do need to touch on when it comes to, you know, talking to people. Because I know your mom recently, she passed.
No, she didn't.
She did.
Wait, no, that was a joke that Michael Silver hasn't let
go. Oh, God, mom, shut up.
Yeah, my mom still has stage 4 cancer, but.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought your mom.
She hasn't passed away yet.
I thought your mom. I'm so sorry. I thought your mom died.
No, it's not. Okay. He just says my mom died. My mom is fine. She just had surgery. She's okay.
I'm going to kick his ass.
Very funny, but that's what he uses. He's like, your mom dead yet? And I'm just like, son of a bitch.
No.
Fuck you, bro.
No, that's jacked up. I would never say. I thought for some reason, because I've heard
Michael Silver's
and I was
a piece of dog shit. That's very. Yeah, okay. I'll say that on the air.
Yeah fucking asshole.
yeah. But it's a fun bit.
No. All right.
See, that's about, because processing grief, I can't get offended by it. I find it funny. Yeah. Somebody wishing that much ill will on you, and it's just like this sick, twisted way of being like, well, that could be funny.
I don't think he wishes. Does he really?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No,
yeah, I think he's doing, you know, kind of not necessarily tongue in cheek, but tongue up his ass kind of deal.
Yeah.
But so. All right, Brennan. Well, I guess, you know, we talked about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. You know, we went over your whole. whole kind of like life kind of spotted out and you know,
the random chunks. Yeah, I feel like it could have been more organized, but I'm ADHD.
It was good. It was good for what it was, you know. It's I appreciate you always, especially you. Because you know, I always like look for people that I know that are safe for me to talk to. That's a big thing for me in stand-up is
I mean, they're on camera.
Yeah, no, but I mean, but you know, even still, for me to like, there's certain people that I pick up on where if I know I can open up to that person and they won't use it against me,
for sure.
You know, and I, because I've been in situations where like I'll be vulnerable and then they're like, oh well, you know, and then they'll see that vulnerability and they'll use that as a way to either get gross or become aggressive with me.
That's so weird.
Or, yeah, exactly. And I always, you know, I always have to feel like I have to walk around with my guard up. And that's not good because then, you know.
No, then it's confrontational with people that you could be receptive to later.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so I always appreciate you for being, you know, one of those people. I'm like, safe face, you know.
Thank you.
Safe face. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Brennan.
No
Thanks
problem.
For being on this. And, you know, every time, you know, I always try to tell people, you know, regardless of what we go through, we still have to believe in ourselves and say everything is going to be okay.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah, everything's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
You too. All right, cutting.